You're listening to DraftKings Network. You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings. Why are you listening to this show? The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
A couple of things, Dugatz, that gets us a little bit closer to football. Dan Campbell is wearing a hat that reads grit on it.
Of course he is.
And he gives us the quote, and I don't know what this means, but it sounds good, and Dan Campbell always sounds good. He sounds like football. He says, quote, "We'll tread water for as long as it takes to bury you." So they're going to tread and tread water and tread water and then tread water. And then he's going to threaten to bury you. Also, he calls Josh Reynolds. I've got one question after I read this to you, what he is calling wide receiver Josh Reynolds. He calls him a praying mantis, a spider of death, and a frickin' serpent. And my question to you is, has Josh Reynolds ever had 500 receiving yards in a season?
No, but he's capable. I mean, I'm telling you.
I'm not saying he's not capable, and I might be wrong.
He certainly was in the Rams offense.
I might be wrong. He may have had a 500 season with the Rams.
618 yards.
Wow, look at that. Huh?
Does he have any other 500-yard seasons?
This is where your fantasy agnosticism really plays into the factor. Otherwise, I mean, why would you have heard of Josh Reynolds if not for fantasy?
Does he have any other 500-yard seasons?
I'm checking.
Well, but you got me there, Dan Le Batard.
But well, you found the 600-yard one.
I've never checked Josh Reynolds' stats. Two. I mean, this is crazy.
What year is he in? Year four?
Oh, let me
check
it.
He is entering his sixth season in the league, and also 618 yards and two touchdowns. It's not a fantasy-relevant receiver.
I mean, anything, good for a streamer.
Yeah, but he did it over, like, four games. I mean,
is it good for a praying mantis, a spider of death, or a freaking serpent?
No.
I also, when you said, I have a question off the back of this, I thought you were going to ask, what is the commonality between those three animals? Because I don't know what the commonality between a praying mantis, a spider, and a frickin' serpent is. What's the same? What is the same about those three animals?
Which is the best of those animals?
Praying mantis. I think the women eat the men in the praying mantis.
Really?
Yeah, I think after they have their babies, they eat the man.
What about the
after they get it on? Yeah.
Really?
They don't even wait for the pregnancy.
Wow.
That's not the black widow? That's the praying mantis?
What is this? What they all have in common? The fact that they kill their partners?
The spider of death, I don't know how it got its nickname.
No, it's definitely the praying mantis. I know that about that.
Hmm.
The praying mantis is the spider of death.
No, the praying mantis does eat the partner.
We don't know about the spider of death, right?
I don't know about the black widow.
Yeah.
Hell of a pool player, though.
Frickin' serpent. I just put it on the poll, please, Whittingham. If you are a praying mantis, a spider of death, and a frickin' serpent, should you be able to put together one 620-yard receiving season?
It'd make you the greatest wide receiver of all time, would it not?
It's pretty good. All of those things are pretty good.
I love Dan Campbell. He is so basic. He's such a great coach. He cares. He's passionate. He was ranting about how he loves that every game this season is Sunday at 1 o'clock for the Lions. They don't have a 4 o'clock game, a Thursday night game, a Saturday game, a Monday game. They're not good enough to play in those games.
Thanksgiving can't be at 1 o'clock. I get your point.
No, they play at noon.
12:30.
They play at noon, yeah.
It's a 12:30 game. Earlier. He
it's
loves
earlier.
It.
It's like 11:30.
Every other game is Sunday at 1, and he is so excited that he could have a routine, his team could have a routine, and that he's not good enough to be featured in any 4 o'clock or 8 o'clock games.
Sam was spot on. The Black Widow, in addition to the Mantis, also eats the male.
Wow.
So we've got two male eaters and a frickin' serpent. A spider of death, a praying mantis, a frickin' serpent.
Don't try to have sex with Josh Reynolds.
And it says here that the praying mantis, it says sexual cannibalism is common among praying mantises, and researchers have attributed this behavior to ensuring the survival of the female and her offspring. Seems very intense.
Sexual cannibalism is during or after?
After.
They eat the head.
Because sexual cannibalism sounds like it could be during.
But they got to finish the act.
I feel like we're getting into semantics about like what constitutes the act being finished for praying mantis. Like, this is a Ron McGill conversation now.
I disagree. I believe that we can enter into it because once you've made it sexual cannibalism, it's no longer just cannibalism. If it's after sex, then it's cannibalism. It's not sexual cannibalism. If it's
have dinner before sex, too.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to have a bloated belly.
I get that. Yeah, it's the most embarrassing thing for a little fart to pop out.
It's like swimming. You got to wait a half hour.
Or just get right to it. You don't want the stomach to get after it, especially if you've had any sort of alcohol.
Food settles in. Yeah.
Nope.
Stugatz was telling me during the break some funny stories about being at the Hall of Fame and showed me a video. I will let him tell you what he wants to tell you about this video, but I had a radiant smile on my face because Stugatz was just scanning the room with his phone and saying, I'm not supposed to be in here.
I don't know what to do with this footage because I was not supposed to be in there. Listen, let's start here. I was in a room I didn't belong in. And the fact that I just, turned the phone on and started shooting video with people who had no idea they were being videoed, I don't know what to do
with
the actual
footage. How did you get into that room? What is the backstory on how you got into this Hall of Fame room filled with Hall of Famers? And I believe I saw at least a few mascots.
So I was at the hotel, Baselli's Hotel, before the enshrinement ceremony. And we took a picture together. I spoke to Larry Zonka. I had a conversation with Mark Brunell. And I had no idea where I was going and how to get to places. And so Tony said, Stu. And I asked him right before he left, how do I get over to the stadium, Tom Benson Stadium? He said, get on that shuttle right there. I said, Tony, I can't get on that shuttle. It's for Hall of Famers only.
Gold Jackets only.
He said, get on the shuttle. And he walked me towards the shuttle. So I get on said shuttle, and the people that were in that shuttle were Tony Gonzalez, Jerry Rice, I believe Emmitt Smith, like a who's who of Hall of Famers. And I'm in the bus. I'm on the shuttle.
With Jerome Bettis.
Yes. And I'm headed to Tom Benson Stadium, and I'm thinking to myself, and I'm texting Tony, I'm in a bus I shouldn't be in.
So what do you give these guys on the bus? A little head nod? A little, hey, how's it going?
I didn't say a word.
Okay.
The way that he showed me, told me the story in the hallway, though, is that these guys, these gold jackets, many of them statuesque, right? Tony Gonzalez. Yes.
He looks great, by the way.
Stugatz was strutting among them. We kind of bypassed Baselli telling us earlier that he was going to put Stugatz in the car in the parade with his kids, which I just love Stugatz as the hood ornament. The ornament of that car.
Kids are great, by the way.
You had some swagger.
Great family. Yeah.
In that group, in that cluster.
You have to act like you belong, Dan. When you're in a group like that, you just have to sell that you belong to be in that group. So the bus, which, by the way, had a police caravan. So, like, we are getting a police caravan. I'm on a bus. There are four cops surrounding the bus taking me straight to the stadium. Now, they drop me off in this area. And I get off the bus, and I just start following the Hall of Famers. Again, acting like I'm supposed to be there because that's how I act. And so I just follow them, and no one stopped me. At one point, someone said they're taking pictures, asking for autographs. They said, who's that?
Is this the night? I need to paint the picture. Is this the night you were dressed in that nice blue shirt with the jeans, or is this the night you're in your Master's hat cash?
No, this is the enshrinement ceremony.
Okay, so you were cash.
I had the Master's hat on. Yes.
Yeah, just because like it's a different vibe. I don't know. Because like you don't look like a guy that's about to get inducted into the Hall of Fame.
This is right after the parade. I'm sweating. I have this Master's hat on. I mean, I don't look like I shouldn't be in that room. But we get off the bus. I walk in after the parade from the hotel. I walk in. I'm walking behind Tony Gonzalez, Jerry Rice, Emmitt Smith. Act like you've been there before. I'm acting like I've been there before. Acting like I belong. And then all of a sudden, I end up in a room, and it's the Yellow Jacket room. And it's the room you sit in before they announce you out on stage for the Hall of Fame. And so I just start shooting video. And I am telling you, Zonka was eating a hot dog. Howie Long was 5 feet away from me.
Mike, he was.
Bob Kraft's in the room. I mean, it's a who. All the Hall of Famers are in one room. And I took video and I just kept saying, I shouldn't be in this room.
Mike, he wants.
Because I had no business being in that room. I'm not allowed to be in that room. In fact, I'm certain I'll never be in that room again. But for one day and one day only, I was in the room.
And he's trying to take you into the room, the listener, by figuring out how to do the super follow thing and charge you to see this video, which includes, I will only give you a snippet, him looking over at somebody who was eating an hors d'oeuvre, a giant person, and saying, introduce yourself. I don't know. I thought it was a great way to do that. Why did you do it that way?
I didn't know who he was. He's gotten older. I mean, now I have to reveal who it was.
Yes,
it was Ted Hendricks.
The mad stork?
The stork, yeah.
Introduce who you are. He was eating something off of a small plate.
He was. Yeah.
And I think he was mildly insulted by Stugatz, although Stugatz tried to hide it well, having no idea who he was.
Well, he hears me saying, I shouldn't be in this room. I shouldn't be in this room.
You're whispering it into, this out
whispering
loud?
It into a phone.
No, I'm saying, Mike, you have to see this video. Okay. And he is saying, hey, you're in the room. Shut the hell up. Like, you're here. Enjoy it. Take some video. Get the mascot. Have a hot dog. And so I did.
How's the video quality on the video? Because terrible. I saw some of the contributions that looked like you were doing it off an old Nokia.
Well, I was doing it off my iPhone.
Did you
see
some of the videos on social media?
Yeah.
Very grainy.
I know.
Some of it looked like the Zapruder footage.
Mike, you're going to be so proud of me because I take three videos, okay? One is I'm not supposed to be in this room and I set up the room. But second is me with a Hall of Famer. The third one is me with another Hall of Famer. Actually, there's four. So the way I set it up, and I did not do this intentionally at the time, for this super follower thing is I lay the groundwork. I'm in a room that I'm not supposed to be in. It's filled with Hall of Famers. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to tweet that out and say, if you want to see what happened in the room, then you have to follow me.
Have you done any of the legwork to establish a super follower account?
No, but Billy's almost done with it.
Okay. I mean, it takes time. Well, you have to fill out tax forms.
Oh, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, you have to. That's
like
part of
1099?
It.
1099? Like, really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fill out a W-9. You have to, if you have an S-Corp, you have to make sure that's in there.
Right. But I'm in a room that I shouldn't be in.
How do you know you even qualify? Billy is handling all of this.
You've mentioned that.
We've established that.
No, but Mike, that's the exciting part. So
my favorite part was when
you established that,
and then you followed it up by saying, "Like, I shouldn't be in this room because I'm not a Hall of Famer. The only Hall of Famers in this room. I shouldn't be in this room."
I think,
but no one kicked me out. No one kicked me out.
Act like you're. Were you holding a ladder? That usually helps.
No, but how did I get in there? How did no one say something
to me?
Well,
I can't wait to find out on the Super Followers.
There you go. So I'm going to fill out these forms as quickly as possible.
Which means
because
never.
I am sitting on gold.
Takes a while, though.
Should get
Been
to it by Friday.
Those things for yeah. a while. Yeah. Yeah.
Chris Cody has asked this question, and I want to follow him down this path.
Amazing.
Because Michael Irvin, who Stugart spent some time with at the Hall of Fame.
In the room.
Remembers playing in the Super Bowl, and a play that was called for him was instead thrown to Alvin Harper, and Michael Irvin chased him down the field in the Super Bowl screaming, "That's my touchdown. You're going there with my touchdown." Because we're all selfish in our own ways, and it is rare to be the kind of joyfully giving that you are as happy for Baselli as Baselli is when he goes into the Hall of Fame, because you're a wildly unselfish person. Chris Cody says that Stephen A. Smith, I don't believe you were asking this question. I believe you were accusing him of this, that Stephen A. Smith, as he takes this month off from First Take, is hoping for a plummeting of the ratings.
It's, yeah, he took off, he had like major shoulder surgery, so he's been gone.
The tough one.
Like a month, the surgery or me saying that?
Shoulder surgery, yes.
You saying
that. You got the money.
I saw you walk up to the speed
Very
bump.
Very tricky,
get scared of the and the speed bump.
Case of the Monday tongue. Happens to everybody. Especially when you're boating.
Yep. Bay.
Great bay.
So I wondered, he's out for a month and a half. He's not hoping for the ratings to go up. That we can at least agree on that.
I agree.
He's at least we 1,000% he's hoping for a flat line. Yeah, but I would bet hoping for a little dip. Just so he can walk in, he can kick that door in
a big
August
dip.
15th.
Yeah.
The boy's back. Don't worry. The ratings, Norby, don't worry. The ratings are back.
When I come back, the ratings come back.
Also,
right.
I will time it out that when I come back, all the sports do too. Curious how he did that.
He has to have been wildly. Every time there's a big news story, he's got to be like, "Damn it! They've got their ratings bump for the day. People are going to tune into ESPN not because of who's on, but because there's
now
a big news story."
Actively,
he's rooting against the news. He's rooting against things happening.
He's missed the Watson stuff. Damn it!
You're now telling me, you guys have now turned this into him raging at his television because news is broken that is preventing the ratings from dipping further.
Let me tell you something. There is nobody in America who is rooting against Kevin Durant getting traded than Stephen A. Smith. If Stephen A. Smith gets traded, or if Kevin Durant gets traded while Stephen A. Smith is on vacation,
he'll come back.
He is going to be fuming.
I believe that's a holdup in the Kevin Durant trade. Everybody is waiting for Stephen A's
He's
shoulder.
He's coming back with a sling over the jacket.
A shoulder that he hurt carrying the company, right. No doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is waiting. The reports are that no one wants to facilitate, be the third team facilitator and help the Brooklyn Nets out because it will set like all the trade markets to an astonishing level. No, it's because they want to wait for Stephen A.
But Woody, that's the story that gets him off vacation, is it not? If Durant gets traded?
No doubt.
Yes.
No doubt. Him. Do you think now, here's the line. How about Donovan Mitchell? If Donovan Mitchell gets traded?
Nah.
Or is that a remote appearance where we're seeing?
To the Knicks, he'll be back.
Ooh, good shout. Yeah.
He'll be back. If it's
good point.
Yeah.
Feels like when we see Stephen A. Smith's chin on Zoom.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Light spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Light, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Dan Le Batard.
What did Stugatz just text you, Mike? While Bob Costas was talking very eloquently about the things that are producing anxiety in America and beyond, what did he text you?
Yeah, during your enlightened conversation, I got a text from Stugatz that said, Todd Gurley Ravens, to which we all had to search for what he meant, because there's no report saying that Todd Gurley signed with the Ravens. He was just texting me about a visit Todd Gurley is presently having with the Baltimore Ravens.
According to Adam Schefter, I think they it's a 1-year deal now, Mike, so he gets a chance to prove himself again. Right, it's a big deal, Mike. Todd Gurley to the 1-year
prove it. Love a 1-year
prove it deal.
Stugatz.
It's just so he says it was Adam Schefter. So I look at Adam Schefter's Twitter account, couldn't find anything. Jess went and tracked down the tweet. Mm-hmm. Here are the red flags on this account. One, the handle, Spots Centra.
But you realize you can read that very, very quickly and think it's, you know, it's...
Mistake number one. Mistake number two, there was no check mark. It was that thing that people do to try and fool people of the white circle that kind of looks like the check mark, but is not. Sign number three, the avatar... It's the SportsCenter logo, but in fairly sizable print above it is the word not. All the red flags, and yet Stugatz is still going. Todd Gurley, Ravens buddy.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Rachel Maddow just did her first interview since cutting back at MSNBC, and in that article with Vanity Fair, they talk about how when she comes back, the numbers come back with her. She's made some life choices to do more balanced work and have a more balanced life that has her ice fishing, and she will do, you know, one day a week instead of 5 days a week in a new media landscape where when you're the ratings person on behalf of a company, you don't have to come back in a sling when Donovan Mitchell gets traded with your arm in a sling over the suit because you've got the deal. Like, I haven't seen a deal like that before where Maddow gets to do projects and Mondays. And they're paying her with a great fear that she was going to go somewhere else because after 14 years of doing that, she's the star of MSNBC.
Stern's got a pretty good deal over at SiriusXM.
He's been on vacation. I don't know his exact schedule.
He's got the whole summer off.
Like months off.
And now he does, like, what? Is it 3 days now?
Yeah, he's been doing 3 days for a while, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
That's
a good
wild
schedule, yeah.
It's a really good schedule. I'm all for reduced work schedules in today's day and age.
Same.
It's been made, like, a big deal. Europe is already kind of migrating over to a four-day work week. Here it's a point of contention, and I will say that most of the people, it's the usual cast of characters that are in opposition of, you know, a 4-day work week. Back when they were working 5 days a week, let's say in their heyday, their entire careers, they didn't have this device that I'm holding in my hand right now. When they went on vacation for 3 weeks, you didn't know if they were coming back alive. You had no way to reach them. When they'd go home, their work wouldn't exist with them. Now we live in a day and age where you're constantly surrounded by your work. I went on vacation over this last weekend. I had 4 Zoom meetings. It is with you at all times. So hurrah for Howard Stern and Rachel Maddow.
I had to give podcast notes back from a plaza in Portugal earlier this summer.
Hurrah? How are you spelling that? How are you spelling hurrah? Why did you make it the House of Commons?
Two O's, yeah.
Two O's.
Yeah.
Malcolm Gladwell created a stir this weekend saying of working from home, he says, what have you reduced your life to? And this is...
Doesn't he work from home?
Who is he?
Where's the big philosopher office?
Exactly. Stop judging me. I mean, seriously, you live your life the way you want to live it, and I'll live mine the way I want to live it.
I love working from home. There has been so much backlash to people preferring working from home, and some of it seems like it's coming from, like, commercial real estate companies that are paying for opinion pieces in the Wall Street Journal or something like that. But
an empty office wrote this.
Right. I do get, like, the people yearning for the office, like, friendships and camaraderies, because I have made some of my best friends from going into the office at Sports
Thank
Illustrated.
You.
Oh, not very here, nice though. Of you.
Yeah.
But also, like,
into the office at Sports
I have more time to hang out with those people when I'm not working for 14 hours every day in an office and spending money on a commute and eating like the shit that I just had time to slap together
really
at the
did
last
shove
minute.
You really did. What was that that you were eating with such, you were eating it with a certain ferocity.
My overnight oats, Dan. I have this thing every morning I wake up and remember that I forgot to make overnight oats. And once every like 6 months.
They cease
months,
being overnight oats at that point.
Exactly. And you can't, once you remember you have to make them, it's too late. Because you have to do them overnight. You have to remember it the night before. And every single night at 10 o'clock, I fall asleep. And I wake up the next morning and think, God damn it, I forgot to make my overnight oats.
Let's examine, because I think you guys had the same reaction that a lot of people had to Malcolm Gladwell, which is, quit telling me how to live, old man. Things are changing. You sound out of touch.
Stugat said, what has he done?
I mean, name something.
Tipping Point.
What is that?
10,000 hours and shit or something.
Wasn't that disproven, though?
Yes, even he goes back and revisits some of his hypotheses and admits that they are not necessarily right. But you can, I enjoy his books. I've enjoyed his success. I enjoy talking to him. And when I read this, I understood what he was trying to say, which is, if we're all more and more disconnected, more and more in our devices, human interaction, human touch, the soulful things that happen when people are together in whatever their work environments are. I understand where he was trying to head with this, but this toothpaste is now out of the tube. I'm sure employers all over are like, oh, shit, I've got so much less control than I used to have. And the thing that can't be unseen is the comforts of home make it so that working from home allow you to have a more balanced life. But why the hell would your employer want you to have a more balanced life? At home, you're going to probably be less efficient as an employee than you are at work. That we can agree on,
right?
I
totally disagree with you on that. 100%
disagree.
When I worked, again, at Sports Illustrated, there were probably more days than not where people would just kind of stand around and talk about fantasy baseball for like 6 hours a day. You think that happens if we're all home on Slack? And everyone who's listening who worked at Sports Illustrated knows exactly what I'm talking about. The fantasy baseball talk was out of control, Dan. Made me resent baseball. Made me resent fantasy. No more fantasy baseball talk in the office. That is not being productive. I disagree.
Right here in our Miami offices, we've had MetalArk HQ kind of relocate for the summer. There have been a lot of productive meetings. There's been a lot of good that comes out of it. But I, for one, can't wait for them to get the fuck out of here so I can get back to work. my administrative days are a mess now because I don't have them. I do a lot more work, and I get way ahead of stuff when I have a day to myself at home where I could just power through stuff.
It's interesting that you say that, because then the people listening to this, whether they're running an office or one of the people working in the office, I wonder, when it comes to employees, as a boss, is a boss going to be okay with the average worker's personal pride on making sure they're not stealing money when they're not being watched while at work? Because that's the construct,
hold
right?
On,
the
boss, hold on, wait.
Stugatz has been stealing money inside these
20 years.
We don't have a real
Thank
place,
you, Mike.
Though.
Dan, like, employers steal wages from employees all the time. Wage theft is a way bigger problem than employees trying to steal back an hour or two of their office days, like, chatting with a coworker or going out to lunch or whatever. And I think, like, yes, Tony, taking a shit, thank you for saying that off mic. Yeah. It's also true. The comforts of your own bathroom during a work day, wonderful. Yeah. The bathroom at the Clevelander, the opposite of wonderful.
I'm not actually arguing with you any of the points here. I think most people listening to this would say, yes, please let me work from home. I'm actually trying to examine, as this time of change happens and workplaces shake under, what the pandemic did, which is your bosses want you at work. And people are like, nah. And that's a huge shift. Like, we didn't realize that we had the option. That's something that we just discovered, forced by the evolution of this pandemic. So we're in the middle of it. And of course, employees are going to argue on behalf of, yeah, let me work from home, more freedom. I don't want to, I want to be in my underwear. I want more comfort. But what's going to happen? Because the power's the power, and the power's the money, and people don't want to go back to work. And perhaps this right here outside our windows has become the most expensive plot of land in the United States, because San Francisco and New York commerce have realized, wait a minute, I don't have to do this from the office. Let me go to the sunshine. I'm going to go, like the shift, we don't have any of the infrastructure to handle the number of people who are in town, but money dictates this stuff. And it tends to be bosses and the status quo that end up dictating whether change is allowed to happen or not.
But I think people realize now they have options, meaning if their current employer will not allow them to work from home, someone else will. And that's a big advantage.
There's also commuting times. I will tell you, on days that I go into the office, and we have a different job, there's sound quality issues. The show is not the same if people are remote. We have quality control that we have to worry about. We physically have to go somewhere. But on my way to that studio, given that I got a foot in content, but also some administrative stuff, every day that I come to this studio, I am losing 2.5 hours on average of productivity because of just a commute. Just a commute. It's 2.5 hours that I could be applying to actually making dents in some of the other stuff that I need.
Great point.
And commuting is very expensive. Some companies, if you're lucky, will subsidize it, or you'll get like a pre-tax commuting benefit. But right now, gas prices are high. A lot of people drive to work. Some companies don't even pay for parking, and you're spending money out of your own pocket to drive into your office. Plus, inflation is up. Your wages probably haven't gone up adjacent to inflation. So you're spending more money just to go to work than you would be if you were working from home.
And some of us have lost, I don't know, maybe tens of thousands of dollars in the big crypto crash and can't even access their funds because your crypto dealer decided to file for Chapter 11, freezing all your assets for an indeterminate amount of time.
The Nomad? What, you were in the Nomad bridge where $200 million
that
just
goddamn Voyager, man.
The thing that I wanted, I think most people listening to this would say, yes, of course, please let me work from home. I'm asking you, and I'm asking the audience, two things. One, are companies this nimble and flexible that they can react to the change? You say, I'll work at the company that can. My history, I don't think of companies as being this kind of flexible. And then the next question I want to ask you, because no one around here is being watched, but I trust the personal pride of all of these people I feel like I know to do their jobs. Do you think most workplaces are that, where the boss trusts the personal pride of the employee?
They should. I mean, why wouldn't you? Like, it's such a shitty like excuse, like, oh, I can't trust my employees to do good work for me. It's like, why? Because you think they're stupid or they're bad employees? Like, give them
isn't
some
the proof
trust
in the work, though? Like, it's your productivity. So if you're doing it from home and not producing, then your boss is going to take notice.
Then your boss will notice. Right. But yeah. I would venture to guess that during 2020, people who were able to keep their jobs, because there were a lot of layoffs, probably worked the most that they had in their entire lives, because there was no off switch. If your workday ends when you leave the office, if you're working in an office, if you are working from home, there's no off switch. You're basically in your office the entire day. And at that point, I don't think many people had worked from home before, and they didn't know how to create that boundary. So I'm guessing, and I certainly felt this way. I was working like 14 hours a day sometimes for a full week, and just like didn't have any break from it because I was working from my office, basically.
I will push back. Like, I don't turn it off once I leave these studios. I actually go to an office and my work continues the entire time. Which
but
is
you
why
feel rushed
also,
the entire
we
time.
Also
you
have
feel
hybrid,
rushed, don't you?
Hybrid work from home, right. Work from studio. Like, we get to come in part of the week and work from home part of the week. It's not an either or for us. But yes, I agree. Like, I also work from home probably more.
A lot of conventional workplaces are moving towards that hybrid I think that there's a lot to actually coming into a communal workplace and seeing people, see identifying workflows and having face to face just 5 days a week seems crazy if we're trying to be max productive. I know from personal experience, I'm way more productive when I'm working remotely and I can just concentrate on the work, but I'm not saying cut it off entirely. And a lot of people are moving towards that hybrid that you just outlined.
I think people got a taste of, hey, I could work from home, no commute. I could be more productive, or at least, you know, produce.
Not a taste. It's not been a taste. It's been 2 years.
But it's also
years
a taste of like, hey, spending time with my family, sure, like eliminating a commute, like all that stuff. And I think there's enough employers out there who are willing to allow that as long as you're being productive, where people are like, hey, boss, if you're not going to let me do it, someone else is going to let me do it.
The part to me that is most stimulating of my curiosities, as you see Apple TV, which doesn't make very much stuff, they're very careful about it, do with Ben Stiller a Severance project that the name of the show is Severance, and it's basically art about work-life balance. I believe that what the pandemic has done to the people listening to this and beyond is alert everybody because of health, danger, the feeling that things are coming apart or more chaotic. Hey, do I need to have this relationship with work that I have? Like, is there another way for me to make money? Is there another way for me to live? Is there a different way outside of my patterns for me to live that isn't the workaholic mindset that rules capitalism, where you just press the gas and, of course, you work 16 hours a day and you just keep going? I think there's the whole construct is shaking. The whole construct of how labor, what's going to happen with scarcity beyond climate change in our grocery stores and everything else, is that people don't want to go to those shitty jobs where they're going to get COVID in a meatpacking district. And next thing you know, you can't get chicken or turkey. And it's bird flu combined with labor forces don't want to go do that job if they could go work for Amazon outside, and it's a different job.
But what I'd pose is, around 2007, workplaces got a lot more toxic in that you couldn't actually leave them when you physically left them. We're at an unprecedented time when it comes to the demands of the employees, because everybody here is constantly on their phone, constantly dealing with work stuff in ways that if this were 1998, you wouldn't have the availability to do that stuff. So they've been asking far more of the worker without even actually having to ask that, because technology has made it so. So now I think putting in protections for the workers, whether it be a vacation policy such as this company has, which is off-time honor system. Just make sure you're on top of your work. Don't fall behind. But there's no actual set holiday time that you actually have to file and take before, or things like hybrid working arrangements or 4-day work weeks. A lot of places are going to this, and I think it's productive.
How different is it going to be in 10 years?
In 10 years, it's going to be all robots.
Mm-hmm.
People have been saying that since like the 50s.
Right.
Like
but they're doing it now.
There is more automated stuff right now, but like some of the automated like advancements that we've made still need humans to help them work.
I think there's a Coral Gables restaurant already working on almost Sergio's. just
I
robots.
Went to Sergio's in Kendall, and a robot took my order.
Really?
Yeah. There was a human there to make sure that the robot wouldn't kill me.
Exactly.
This is still where we are.
Do you tip the robot? How does this work?
No, I wouldn't tip the robot, but I am tipping the person that's watching the robot.
Stugatz, surely you have noticed this in grocery stores, that The automated lines have now replaced the only old people who are at the cashiers, and everybody is scanning themselves out now. They've already replaced half of the workforces in most of these places.
I love going to a cashier. I will not scan myself out. I don't
so
listen.
Much faster.
I am not there to pack my own bags, put the groceries in my. No, I need to pay a cashier. I don't trust myself. I don't like doing it. It's too tricky. It's too much work. I'm not supposed to do their jobs for them. No,
Stugatz, this is what we're going to do. We're going to stop the show immediately. Mike sure has agreed ridiculously as a Meadowlark employee slash advisor to every day come on from wherever he is and give us a stat of the day. I think he's either in Scotland or on his way to Scotland. Huh. It appears he's weird. Still in his home. He has not yet left, but we will stop the show every day to get a stat of the day from Mike sure. So let's go ahead and do this, Mike.
Start of the day, it is the start of the day. Start of the day, it is the start of the day. Start of the day, it is the start of the day. Start of the day, it is the start of the day.
It is presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Mike, what is today's stat of the day?
Hi, guys. It's Mike.
Hi, Mike. We established
folks,
that.
Eric Lauer is a left-handed pitcher for the Brewers. In the year 2021, the last year the pitchers hit, he was 4-for-26 at the plate, had a .258 on-base percentage, and a .527 OPS in 37 plate appearances. Why is this interesting? Well, because this year, Justin Verlander has held all opposing hitters to a .231 on base percentage and a .520 OPS. In other words, after not pitching for 2 years, at the age of 39, Justin Verlander has turned every hitter in the entire league into Brewers left-handed pitcher Eric Lauer.
How is that possible? That's just baseball's weird or science or HGH? What? Wow.
Maybe someone should look into that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike. We look forward every day until the end of time for you to come on and do stat of the day. But as someone who governs a business, Mike, you might be able to help us with the conversation we were having when you came in. Like, how much is work and workplaces going to change with the pandemic showing labor? Hey, I want to work from home, and bosses being like, hey, you need to get to the office. I want to watch you.
Well, this is my personal huge fear, is that in a number of different industries, businesses are going to use the pandemic to say, hey, we don't need to pay for office space. We don't need to pay for supplies and lunches and coffee. Why don't you all work from home? It's happening in Hollywood, certainly, and it's happening in a lot of other places too. I really feel like this is a massive opportunity. The way that a lot of businesses see it is an opportunity for the further exploitation of the American workforce. So I don't want to check myself out of a grocery store, not because I don't trust myself like Stugatz, but because I think that the world needs jobs that are not automated. And I'm afraid that a lot of them are going to, the rate of automation is going to accelerate greatly. And I don't think that's good for the world.
Jessica, your thoughts there? Because that's what Malcolm Gladwell is arguing. He's saying, what have you reduced your life to? What do you think?
Well, that's different. That Gladwell article is ridiculous, in my opinion.
Thank you, Mike.
It's ridiculous. If you're Malcolm Gladwell, you're very wealthy and successful, it's very easy to argue that everybody should always go into work, because he's arguing from a position of extreme privilege. I don't agree with his approach to this. I don't think that he's saying what I'm saying. I think he has a little bit of the, like, if I can do it, anybody can do it, which is never a good argument to make when you're a very wealthy and successful person.
When he says that, when Mike Schur says the exploitation of employees, because the group was arguing on behalf of, as I imagine most employees would argue on behalf of, I prefer to work from home. He's articulating dangers I did not hear in the room.
I don't think that most people do want to work from home. I feel like it's probably a mix. Like, people would prefer to have an option. And I think that it's incredibly shitty to have the opinion that if my employees aren't sitting here so I can watch them all day, they must not be getting anything done. They must be lazy and taking advantage of me, when historically in America, employees are the people who take advantage of labor.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Jessica's right. So the problem here, I think, is that there's a difference between someone who would prefer the flexibility, say a single parent, who would prefer the flexibility of a schedule of like, if I work from home, I can pick up my kid from school more easily or whatever. There's a difference between that and like, get your lazy ass into work every day so that you can be sitting here to do research for me when I write my next book. That's not, those two things are not the same.
But you're alleging, just so I have this right before you get on a plane to do stat of the day from a different country, that the employer is going to take advantage of all of these things and turn us into slaves in 10 years who cannot get away from work because we're working from home, but we're always at work.
I wouldn't quite use the word slave, but I think that the history of capitalism would suggest that at any opportunity, people in management or ownership tend to find ways to better take advantage of people who are in the labor force. And I don't necessarily think whether that's automation of a cashier system or truck drivers or whatever, or just I want you to be sitting at your desk so that you can go get me lunch when I want lunch. Those two things are not the reasons that we should. Those are different reasons for why you should come into work. And I think generally speaking, flexibility is good, but conscription is not.
Also, if you're going to get rid of your $200,000 month lease, like invest that back into your employees or, I don't know, do something with that money that's constructive. Like we've taken so many things away from employees in the last few decades. Like people don't get pensions nearly as much as they used to. You're not getting stock options if you work for a big company anymore. Your executives are likely getting six-figure to seven-figure bonuses, but the actual employees don't get any of that. So maybe if you pay people more, they'll agree to come into work 5 days a week and not grumble about it because they're not going to be spending their own money on their commute and gas and parking and everything that it costs to go into work every day. And I don't know. I think the solution to a lot of these problems is just like pay people well and they won't complain as much.
I think that's exactly right. And I also think that it's great that the stat of the day music is still playing underneath this entire discussion.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.